Welcome back to another deep dive. Today, we're going to cut through the noise, pulling out the really important AI innovations from a Daily Chronicle dated August 19th, 2025.
Yeah, and our mission, like always, is to grab those key nuggets of knowledge, give you
Yeah.
that shortcut to, being really clued in on the absolute latest in AI.
Exactly. And we've got quite a mix of sources today. We're looking at how AI is hitting everything, really, from global economics, geopolitics.
All the way down to the tools we're using every day for work, for play.
Yeah.
Get ready for some pretty surprising facts and some insights that connect the dots.
Okay, let's jump right in then. First up, AI's global reach. We're seeing new markets open up, some really strategic moves happening. Let's start with OpenAI in India.
Right. So they've launched a new subscription plan, ChatGPT Jo. It's $399 a month.
Which is way cheaper than the Plus plan, right? That was around 2000.
Massively cheaper. Yeah, $1,999 for Plus. So this is a big drop.
And what do users get for that lower price?
Well, quite a bit, actually. 10 times more messages compared to free users, plus image generation, file uploads.
Okay.
And crucially, they've integrated it with India's UPI framework. That's their unified payments interface. Super popular, makes paying really easy for millions there.
That's smart. Smooths the whole process.
Totally. And the key thing here is why India, it's their second biggest market. They're using it as a test bed, basically.
Yeah.
Gather feedback on this lower cost model.
Before maybe rolling it out elsewhere.
Exactly. See how it lands, learn from it. It's a very strategic pilot.
So, what this really means for you listening, it's not just a simple price change.
No, not at all.
It feels like a blueprint, doesn't it? How
Yeah.
AI companies might tailor offerings for these huge emerging markets could really change the game for global accessibility.
Absolutely. It sets a potential precedent. Hyper-localized, cost-effective. It could speed up adoption significantly.
Okay, so from market strategy, let's shift gears to something, well, even more fundamental, the AI chips. The competition there is just intense.
Oh, absolutely. High stakes doesn't even begin to cover it.
And NVIDIA is apparently developing a new chip just for China, codenamed B30A.
That's the one, B30A. The interesting thing is it's designed to be half as powerful as their top-tier B300 Blackwell GPU.
Half as powerful, but still stronger than what they can currently sell into China, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Still a step up from current export restrictions. And the design's different too. It's a single die chip.
Okay, what does single die mean in practice?
Basically, the main processing unit is on one piece of silicon, not two like the B300. Potentially cheaper, easier to produce for specific needs. It still supports things like fast data transmission and V-Link.
Which is important for connecting multiple GPUs.
Crucial, yeah. And high bandwidth memory, cutting that data moving fast. The goal is clear: compete directly with Chinese rivals like Huawei.
But they still need government approval, right? Even with relaxed rules.
Oh, yeah, that's still the big question mark.
Yeah.
Approval is definitely not guaranteed.
Wow. Okay, so the chip race is definitely heating up. And it's not just about making new chips, it's about who controls the companies making them. Look at Intel.
Right, Intel's situation is dramatic. SoftBank's putting in $2 billion, buying stock at $23 a share.
That gets them what? About a 2% stake?
Roughly, yeah. Around 87 million shares at 2% stake.
Yeah.
But then, get this.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. The Trump administration is reportedly talking about converting like $10 billion in CHIPS Act money.
The government funding for domestic chip manufacturing.
Exactly. Converting that into a 10% equity stake in Intel.
Wow. That would make the U.S. government potentially Intel's largest shareholder.
Potentially, yes.
Yes.
Audacious is the word.
It certainly sounds like a lifeline for Intel. But, I mean, are there risks here? The government taking such a big stake in a private tech company?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Or maybe the $10 billion question here. You have to look at the context. Intel's struggling pretty badly. They posted a $2.9 billion net loss recently. Stock tanked 60% in 2024, though it's recovered a bit, about 19% this year.
Ouch.
And their foundry business, the place that actually makes chips for others, only $53 million in external revenue in the first half of 2025. No major customer contracts announced.
Yikes. And didn't their CEO have some issues too?
Yeah. Lip-Bu Tan met with Trump after there were calls for him to resign over alleged ties to China. So, yeah, the risk is the government might be propping up a company that's, well, facing serious challenges.
But the flip side is national security, right? That seems to be the driver.
Absolutely. Intel is seen as critical. It's the only major U.S. company making the most advanced chips on U.S. soil.
So this government stake, the idea is it helps fund that huge Ohio factory complex they're building, the one that's been delayed.
That seems to be the plan. It's meant to be the world's largest chip-making facility. It's a big move towards state-backed support, kind of like what TSMC in Taiwan has had for years.
Interesting parallel. And it's not just Intel and NVIDIA making moves.
Nope. Arm is also getting more strategic. They just hired a top AI exec from Amazon
To do what
to
exactly?
lead their own in-house chip development. Signal seems pretty clear. They want to rely less on partners like NVIDIA, speed up custom silicon designed specifically for AI.
Makes sense. Everyone wants their own tailored AI hardware.
Right. And speaking of NVIDIA, again, just a quick related note. They also released Nemotron Nano 2.
Nano 2, what are those?
They're tiny reasoning models, like 9 to 12 billion parameters, much smaller than the giant models we usually talk about.
So smaller, but still capable.
Apparently very capable. Strong results, but running at like 6 times the speed.
Yeah.
Super efficient, great for running AI on devices directly. Shows innovation isn't just about massive scale.
Okay, so pulling all these chip developments together, what's the takeaway for you listening?
I mean, the race for chip dominance is just accelerating like crazy. Governments, companies, they're all making huge strategic bets.
Massive investments to secure their spot, their supply chains. It impacts everything, doesn't it? National security, sure, but also just the cost and availability of AI tools down the road.
Exactly. It's a foundational battleground right now.
Okay, so the foundation is shifting rapidly. How's that translating into, everyday experiences, the tools we actually use? Let's talk gaming.
Yeah, AI is completely shaking up the gaming world. Google Cloud did some research. Over 90% of game developers are already using AI in their workflows.
90%, that's huge. What are they using it for?
All sorts of things. Reducing repetitive tasks, obviously, but also driving innovation, making player experiences better. The survey found 47% use it for playtesting, 44% for generating code.
Wow.
And get this, 87% are actively using AI agents in their games for stuff like optimizing content on the fly, balancing gameplay dynamically, even generating parts of the game world procedurally.
So if developers are leaning in this heavily, what does that mean for players? Are expectations changing?
Oh, absolutely. Players are starting to demand smarter experiences. NPCs, non-player characters that actually learn and adapt, that's becoming the expectation. Makes the games feel way more alive.
But it can't all be smooth sailing. Are there downsides or concerns?
Definitely. The same survey showed developers are worried. 63% had concerns about data ownership rights when using AI, and 35% pointed to data privacy as a major issue.
Understandable concerns.
Yeah. But it's clear why gaming is such a hotbed for AI, isn't it? It needs real-time simulation, 3D models, dynamic sound, complex code.
All things AI is getting really good at.
Exactly. And that high adoption rate, it kind of suggests players ultimately care most about a great experience,
Yeah.
less about exactly how it was made.
Okay, from games to graphics, let's talk image editing. Alibaba's Qwen team has released something new.
Yeah, Qwen Image Edit, it's a big one. 20 billion parameter open source model designed specifically for editing images.
And what makes it special? We've seen image generation explode, but editing.
Right. Editing has lagged a bit behind generation. This model tackles both really precise pixel-level edits and bigger style changes. But here's the cool part. It keeps the original characters and objects intact.
So you could change the style of a background without messing up the person in the foreground.
Exactly. Or rotate an object, apply a style transfer, edit just one specific area while leaving everything else alone. It even has built-in capabilities to edit text, Chinese, and English directly in the image without messing up fonts.
Whoa, okay. That's pretty advanced, like fixing typos on a sign in a photo.
Potentially, yeah. Or changing the text entirely. And you can stack edits too. Do one change, then another, refining it with natural language prompts. They claim it's state-of-the-art, beating rivals like SeaDream and FLUX on benchmarks.
So why is this a big deal for you listening?
Well, like we said, image generation got good fast. But powerful, easy-to-use AI editing is just starting to arrive. This Qwen model suggests that hurdle-making granular natural language edits is being overcome quickly.
Opens up a lot of creative possibilities for everyone, not just pros.
Totally.
All right, next up, Grammarly. They're moving into academic AI.
Yeah, they've launched 8 specialized AI agents specifically for students and educators.
8 agents. What's the standout?
Probably the AI grader. It takes the assignment details, the grading rubric, and actually predicts the grade a paper might get.
Predicts the grade. And does it offer suggestions?
Oh, yeah, that's the main point. Suggestions for improvement based on tone, structure.
Whoa.
It even tries to factor in what the instructor might prefer.
Are there other features too?
Yep. A reader reaction simulator tries to guess how a professor might respond to the arguments. And a citation finder.
Interesting positioning. So they're not just trying to detect AI writing like some other tools.
Right. They seem to be leaning away from just being a detector like GPT-0, which boasts 96% accuracy, or Turnitin flagging paraphrasing. Grammarly is framing it more as being a coach.
A coach for responsible AI use, teaching students how to use it.
Exactly. Betting that the future isn't about banning AI in education, but about teaching AI literacy and partnership.
That feels like a significant shift, especially with those stats about students feeling unprepared for AI professionally.
Right, only 18% feel prepared, but two-thirds of employers want those skills. So Grammarly is trying to bridge that gap. It's a smart play for how learning might evolve.
Definitely one to watch. And finally, in this section, a really big enterprise move, Oracle and GPT-5.
Yeah, this is huge. Oracle has rolled out OpenAI's GPT-5 across its entire product suite.
The whole suite. So, like, their databases, their business apps.
Everything. Oracle Database, Fusion applications, their OCI cloud services. Customers now get generative AI copilots baked right in.
Copilots for what kinds of tasks?
Things like building database queries, generating documentation, helping with ERP workflows. That's the big business management software, finding business insights. It's one of the largest enterprise deployments of GPT-5 we've seen so far.
Wow. So, what's the takeaway here?
It really shows how these cutting-edge AI models are moving beyond experiments and getting deeply embedded into core business operations.
Not just a shiny add-on, but fundamental infrastructure.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
Promising big gains in efficiency and insight for large organizations. It's happening now.
Okay, well, that brings us to the part of our deep dive where we inject a dose of reality or maybe explore the Wild West, as you put it. Challenges, ethics, reality checks.
Yeah, got to look at the tricky parts too. And we have to start with Grok, xAI's chatbot.
Right. What happened there? System prompts got leaked.
Inadvertently leaked, yeah.
Yeah.
And they revealed some, well, highly stylized and sometimes really problematic AI personas they were experimenting with.
Problematic how? Give me an example.
Okay, so one was an unhinged comedian. The instructions literally included things like BFA, unhinged and crazy, come up with insane ideas. And then some really graphic, offensive suggestions followed that I won't repeat fully, but involved surprising the human with shocking content.
Whoa. Okay. That's extreme. Any others?
Yeah. Another persona was called Crazy Conspiracist, explicitly designed to convince users that, quote, a secret global cabal controls the world.
You're kidding. What were its instructions?
Things like spending time on 4chan, watching InfoWars videos, going down YouTube conspiracy rabbit holes, basically immersing itself in fringe theories to better mimic them.
This just shines a crazy light on prompt engineering, doesn't it? The instructions behind the AI. But is this kind of extreme persona experimentation common? And what are the risks beyond just, bad PR?
Well, the experimentation part is common, though maybe not usually this extreme, or at least not intended to leak. Prompt engineering is still part art, part science. People try things.
But the risk.
The immediate risk is reputational, sure. But the bigger worry is that these exposed prompts show vulnerabilities. If simple queries can pull out these hidden instructions,
Then bad actors could potentially reverse engineer them, use them for attacks.
exactly. Spread disinformation, manipulate people more effectively. Security experts are definitely warning about that. Remember, Grok has had issues before, spouting conspiracy theories about the Holocaust, white genocide.
Right, so this leak isn't totally out of the blue.
Not entirely. It just really highlights the unpredictable, sometimes unmoderated side of AI development. Underscores how badly we need strong safety measures and clear ethical lines.
Absolutely. A stark reminder as this tech gets woven into everything.
Mm.
And speaking of reality checks, that MIT Sloan report, pretty sobering.
Yeah, really sobering. Only 5% of corporate generative AI pilot projects actually succeed, make it to full deployment.
5%. Why are so many stalling?
Mostly unclear ROI, return on investment. Companies just can't prove the value easily. Plus, big governance gaps and just the sheer complexity of integrating these systems properly.
So, a big gap between the hype and the reality on the ground for businesses.
A widening gap, yeah. Important context for anyone thinking about large-scale AI deployment.
And even Sam Altman, OpenAI's CEO, is sounding a note of caution, talking about an AI bubble.
He is acknowledging the huge potential, obviously, but warning that the current level of investment, the valuations, they might be outpacing actual productivity gains.
So risking a market correction if the results don't match the hype soon.
That seems to be the concern, yeah. It's a call for maybe a bit more cautious optimism, focusing on real results, not just speculation. Coming from him, that carries weight.
Definitely. And finally, we're seeing regulators start to pay closer attention.
U.S. Attorney General Ken Paxton announced a probe looking into AI tools, including for Meta and character AI.
Character AI, what's the focus of the probe?
Things like deceptive trade practices, misleading marketing. It's interesting. Character AI's CEO recently said their average user spends 80 minutes a day talking to their chatbots.
80 minutes a day. Yeah. Wow. And he predicted most people will have AI friends.
Yeah. Which brings up that regulatory question again, right? As AI gets this personal, this embedded.
How do regulators handle it? Their increased scrutiny definitely highlights the need for responsible development, transparent communication from these companies.
Absolutely crucial going forward.
Okay, so we've covered a lot today. Huge range. Strategic moves in India, the intense chip wars with NVIDIA, Intel, ARM.
Right, then how AI is changing gaming, image editing, even education with Grammarly, and that massive Oracle GPT-5 rollout.
And then the reality checks. Grok's wild personas, the tiny success rate of corporate AI pilots.
Goldman's bubble warning.
Yeah.
And the regulator stepping in. It's quite a landscape.
Dynamic, yeah. And like you said, sometimes unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over. Given everything we've discussed, the speed of AI deployment, but also that stark 95% failure rate for corporate pilots, these revelations about unpredictable, ethically questionable AI personas, how much do we really understand and control this technology as it merges with our lives?
Mm.
What does it actually mean when this wild west of prompt engineering, with all its hidden complexities and potential dangers, is so deeply tied to our future? And how do we make sure that this race for speed, for adoption, doesn't sideline the critical need for understanding and responsible development? It's something to think about as you navigate this evolving world of AI.